The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter 11, text number 55. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari. Recorded on April 15th, 2013, in Vrindavana, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Mat karma krit mat padama mat bhakta sanga vajita nirvaira sarva bhuteshu iya sa mam eti pandava mat karma krin mat paramo mat bhakta sanga varjita nirbhaira sarva bhuteshu yasumam eti pandava mat karma krin mat paramo mad bhakta sanga varjita nirvaira sarva bhuteshu yasumam eti pandava. Mat karma krit, engaged in doing my work. Mat parama, considering me the supreme. Mat bhakta, engaged in my devotional service. Sangha varjita, freed from the contamination of fruitive activities and mental speculation. Nirvaira, without an enemy. Sarvabhuteshu, among all living entities. Iya, one who, sa, he, mam, unto me, eti, comes, Pandava, O son of Pandu. Prabhupada used to quote this often, he would say, mam eti, he comes to me. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. My dear Arjuna, he who engages in my pure devotional service, free from the contaminations of fruitive activities and mental speculation, he who works for me, who makes me the supreme goal of his life, and who is friendly to every living being, he certainly comes to me. Purport, by his divine grace. Anyone who wants to approach the supreme of all the personalities of Godhead on the Krishna Loka planet in the spiritual sky and be intimately connected with the supreme personality of Godhead Krishna must take this formula as stated by the supreme himself. Therefore, this verse is considered to be the essence of Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is a book directed to the conditioned souls who are engaged in the material world with the purpose of lording it over nature and who do not know of the real spiritual life. The Bhagavad Gita is meant to show how one can understand his spiritual existence and his eternal relationship with the Supreme Spiritual Personality, and to teach one how to go back home, back to Godhead. Now here is the verse which clearly explains the process by which one can attain success in his spiritual activity, devotional service. As far as work is concerned, one should transfer his energy entirely to Krishna conscious activities as stated in the Bhaktivedanta Sindhu 1-255. Anasaktasya vishayan yataham apayunjataha nirbandha krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagyam uchyate. No work should be done by any man except in relationship to Krishna. This is called Krishna karma. One may be engaged in various activities, but one should not be attached to the result of his work. The result should be done only for him. For example, one may be engaged in business, but to transform that activity into Krishna consciousness, one has to do business for Krishna. If Krishna is the proprietor of the business, then Krishna should enjoy the profit of the business. If a businessman is in possession of thousands and thousands of dollars, and if he has to offer all of this to Krishna, he can do it. This is work for Krishna. Instead of constructing a big building for his sense gratification, he can construct a nice temple for Krishna, and he can install the deity of Krishna and arrange for the deity's service as is outlined in the authorized books of devotional service. This is all Krishna karma. One should not be attached to the result of his work, but the result should be offered to Krishna, and one should accept as prasadam the remnants of offerings of Krishna. If one constructs a very big building for Krishna and installs the deities of Krishna, one is not prohibited from living there. But it is understood that the proprietor of the building is Krishna. That is called Krishna consciousness. If, however, one is not able to construct a temple for Krishna, one can engage himself in cleansing the temple of Krishna. That is also Krishna karma. One can cultivate a garden. Anyone who has land, in India at least, any poor man has a certain amount of land, can utilize that for Krishna by growing flowers to offer him. One can sell tulsi plants because tulsi leaves are very important, and Krishna has recommended this in the Bhagavad Gita, patram pushpam palam tayam. Krishna desires that one offer him either a leaf or a flower or fruit or a little water, and by such an offering he is satisfied. This leaf especially refers to the tulsi. So one can sow tulsi and pour water on the plant. Thus even the poorest man can engage in the service of Krishna. These are some of the examples of how one can engage in working for Krishna. The word matparamaha refers to one who considers the association of Krishna in his supreme abode to be the highest perfection of life. Such a person does not wish to be elevated to the higher planets such as the moon or sun or heavenly planets or even the highest planet of this universe, Brahmaloka. He has no attraction for that. He is only attracted to being transferred to the spiritual sky, and even in the spiritual sky he is not satisfied with merging into the glowing Brahmajyoti effulgence. For he wants to enter the highest spiritual planet, namely Krishna Loka, Goloka Vrindavan, Ki Jai. He has full knowledge of that planet, and therefore he is not interested in any other, as indicated by the word Magbhakta. He fully engages in devotional service, specifically in the nine processes of devotional engagement. hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering prayers, carrying out the orders of the Lord, making friends with Him, and surrendering everything to Him. One can engage in all nine devotional processes, or eight, or seven, or at least in one, and that will surely make one perfect. The term Sangha Varjita is very significant. One should disassociate himself from persons who are against Krishna. Not only are the atheistic persons against Krishna, but so also are those who are attracted to fruitive activities and mental speculation. Therefore, the pure form of devotional service is described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11 as follows. Anya bilaschita shunyam jnanakarman janamritam anakuyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktirutama. In this verse, Srila Rupa Goswami clearly states that if anyone wants to execute unalloyed devotional service, he must be freed from all kinds of material contamination. He must be freed from the associations of persons who are addicted to fruitive activities and mental speculation. When freed from such unwanted association and from the contamination of material desires, one favorably cultivates knowledge of Krishna. That is called pure devotional service. Anukulyasya sankalpa prati kulyasya varjanam. Hari Bhakti Vilas 11.676. One should think of Krishna and act for Krishna favorably, not unfavorably. Kamsa was an enemy of Krishna's. From the very beginning of Krishna's birth, Kamsa planned in so many ways to kill him, and because he was always unsuccessful, he was always thinking of Krishna. Thus, while working, while eating, and while sleeping, he was always Krishna conscious in every respect, but that Krishna consciousness was not favorable. And therefore, in spite of his always thinking of Krishna 24 hours a day, he was considered a demon, and Krishna at last killed him. Of course, anyone who is killed by Krishna attains salvation immediately. But that is not the aim of pure devotional service, of the pure devotee. The pure devotee does not even want salvation. He does not want to be transferred even to the highest planet in Goloka Vrindavan. His only objective is to serve Krishna wherever he may be. A devotee of Krishna is friendly to everyone. Therefore, it is said here that he has no enemy, nirvaira. How is this? A devotee situated in Krishna consciousness knows that only devotional service to Krishna can relieve a person from all the problems of life. He has personal experience of this, and therefore he wants to introduce this system, Krishna consciousness, into human society. There are many examples in the history of devotees of the Lord who risked their lives for the spreading of God consciousness. The favorite example is Lord Jesus Christ. He was crucified by the non-devotees, but he sacrificed his life for spreading God consciousness. Of course, it would be superficial to understand that he was killed. Similarly, in India, there are also many examples, such as Thakur Haridas and Prahlad Maharaj. Why such risk? Because they wanted to spread Krishna consciousness, and it is difficult. A Krishna conscious person knows that if a man is suffering, it is due to his forgetfulness of his eternal relationship with Krishna. Therefore, the highest benefit one can render to human society is relieving one's neighbor from all material problems. In such a way, a pure devotee is engaged in the service of the Lord. Now we can imagine how merciful Krishna is to those engaged in his service, risking everything for him. Therefore, it is certain that such persons must reach the supreme planet after leaving the body. In summary, the universal form of Krishna, which is a temporary manifestation, and the form of time, which devours everything, and even the form of Vishnu four-handed, have all been exhibited by Krishna. Thus, Krishna is the origin of all these manifestations. It is not that Krishna is a manifestation of the original Vishvarupa or Vishnu. Krishna is the origin of all forms. There are hundreds and thousands of Vishnus, but for a devotee, no form of Krishna is important but the original form, two-handed Shyamasundara. In the Brahma Samhita, it is stated that those who are attached to the Shyamasundara form of Krishna in love and devotion can see him always within the heart and cannot see anything else. One should understand, therefore, that the purport of this 11th chapter is that the form of Krishna is essential and supreme. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta reports to the 11th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of the universal form. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamana Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Badijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishokam Vitam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadesha Tarine. There's some interesting things that kind of jump out of the purport at me here. Here's two statements. Here, Prabhupada states here, he says, he wants to enter the highest spirit. He's talking about the devotee. He says, he wants to enter the highest spiritual planet named Krishna Loka Gologri Vrindavan. He wants to do that. And then, a couple of paragraphs later, he says, he does not want to be transferred even to the highest planet, Goloka Vrindavan. Prabhupada said just the opposite, in the same purport. He does want to go and he doesn't want to go. So, what do you, Prabhupada, what do you mean here? We have to understand what Prabhupada is talking about. Did Prabhupada make a mistake here? No. Is Prabhupada presenting something very, very subtle and transcendental? Yes. So let's try to understand what's going on. How is it the devotee wants to go and he doesn't want to go back to Godhead? Let's look at the he doesn't want to go first. In other words, he's already back to Godhead, you see? Just like we heard in the Bhagavatam class the other morning in the Prabhupada said, for one who is Krishna conscious, he sees no distinction between the material world and the spiritual world. In other words, he's already living in the spiritual world. It's not like, Prabhupada, would you like to go back to Godhead? You know, it doesn't make any sense. Prabhupada is already back to Godhead. And just like it's confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, He is an undifferentiated entity. As there is no distinction between potency and the possessor thereof, in his work of creation of millions of worlds, his potency remains inseparable. All the universes exist in him, and he is present in his fullness in every one of the atoms that are scattered throughout the universes at one and the same time. So there's, for a pure devotee, there's nowhere where Krishna is not present. Krishna is present within every atom of the spiritual world, and he's fully present within every atom of the material world also. So why would the pure devotee think, well, I want to go back to Godhead? He's already with Krishna. The pure devotee's mood is, Krishna, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, that's all right. You want me to remain in this nasty place, the material world, for spreading your glories to save these poor souls from their suffering condition? That's okay. You want me to come and be with you in your eternal pastimes in the spiritual world, Nitya Lila? That's all right. Devotee is completely transcendental. So he does want to go to that spiritual planet. Certainly, who wouldn't want to be in Krishna Loka? If you could be in Krishna Loka right now, would you say no? No, sure. Yeah, I'd love to be in Krishna Loka right now, sitting on the bank of the Jamuna with cowherd boys or the cowherd girls, and you know, there's Krishna. There's, you know, Krishna's got his lunch bag. I wonder what's in that lunch. One of our mother Jasoda packed in his lunch bag today. Maybe I can reach over there and grab it away from Krishna and swipe one of those laddus, you know.
Kachoris.
Huh?
Kachoris.
Kachoris. The Radharani made, yeah. So, yeah, who wouldn't want to be there? But the point is, for the pure devotee, like Srila Prabhupada, the fully realized soul, he's already experiencing not much nectar even here, you know, walking around this planet, you know, creating ISKCON and cultivating the ISKCON devotees. I mean, Prabhupada is already relishing the same nectar. Not that he's missing some of the nectar, that he has to go back to Godhead to get the nectar. So, what does that mean to us suffering souls who are struggling with our minds and senses? What does this mean to us? This means that there's unlimited nectar right there. You don't have to wait, you know, 20 years or 20 minutes whenever you're going to leave your body, 40 years, 80 years. You don't have to wait for the nectar. The pure nectar is available right here, right now, to the degree that we can take of the mood of pure bhakti. The full nectar of complete liberation is available. The trouble is, we're trying to enjoy. That's the problem. We're trying to enjoy the combination of the senses with the sense objects. This is the problem. We just have to be fully, absolutely, totally convinced there is absolutely no happiness in sense gratification. Sense gratification is based on the false premise that I am this lump called the body. You see? The trouble is we've been so conditioned to think that we're the body. Even as we came out of the womb, what did they say? Look, it's a boy. It's a girl. And we heard that. And of course we didn't know the language yet, but the subtle effect was there. We're immediately being conditioned. Oh, I am a boy. I am a girl. And as we grew up, be a good little boy. Be a good little girl. Now, what are they telling you? They're telling you to be something that you're not. Does that actually work psychologically? They're telling you to embrace insanity. and be happy in it. You see what I'm saying? So no wonder people are so frustrated. You see? Be a good little boy, be a good little girl. You see? You can't be what you're not. But yet you're told you must be what you are not. And be a good and be good at it. It doesn't work. It's artificial. It's an assault on reality. And therefore people are miserable like anything. People are going crazy. I mean, every couple of days now you hear some report in the U.S. is supposed to be the most wealthy, opulent, pleasure place in the world, but every couple of days another report, somebody took a gun and they went somewhere and they started shooting. They went to the movie theater and shot a bunch of people. They went to the school, they went to the post office. People just go crazy. Even one Indian boy, one Hindu boy, a university student in Florida, he had a whole plan. He had an assault rifle. He was going to go out. He pulled the alarm. He was going to go out and shoot all the students on the campus. But last minute, he decided to shoot himself instead. But he had a whole plan to go out with a gun and just blow away as many students as he could. They're so frustrated. Some Hindu boy, you see, Indian family. They're so frustrated. Because they're trying to be something they're not. You cannot be what you're not. It's not possible to be what you're not. But we're being trained and programmed, you must be what you're not. So, why not just be what you are? You see? I mean, it's common sense. Just be what you are. Don't try to be what you're not. Just be what you are. Sir? Ma'am? Just be what you are. You see, that is Krishna consciousness. This philosophy is very simple. Know who you are and be who you are. That's in a nutshell what we're all doing. You see. This isn't a brainwashed cult. The material world is a brainwashed cult. We're the deprogrammers. We're deprogramming the people who've been brainwashed by the brainwashed cult. That's what we're doing. We're saving people from the brainwashed cult. I am this body. I am the enjoyer. I am the Lord. The humbogi. I love that, especially like this one here in the. He is friendly to every living entity. You see, that's a symptom of a devotee. He's friendly. Why is he friendly? When you're friendly, what does that mean? That means you love that person, isn't it? I love you. Not in the material world. I love you is a false propaganda. I want to exploit you. Ha ha ha. I love you. I love you, baby. Right? It's such a cheating, dirty thing in the material world. I love you, you see. But in Krishna consciousness, that is real love, you see. Real love means completely free from lust. Prema. With no karma, you see. Actually, the more we become selfless, free of the exploitative tendencies, we become happy, you see. So, the more you become friendly to others, that is a proof or a reflection of your awakening Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada was so friendly, he had unlimited ability to be friendly to everyone because he had no exploitative motives up his sleeve or up his kurta, you see, to take advantage of people for his sense gratification. The pure devotee is the selfless servant of every single living entity. He wants to see that everyone can become happy. This is Prahlad Maharaj. He was saying, for myself, I have no problem, but my one problem is all of these people are suffering here in this material existence. That is my problem. I remember many years ago in our Dallas temple, this was back in the old days when nobody lived outside, everybody lived in the temple. There was no really congregation in those days. And we had one Indian man who came. That was it, I think. About one. That was our point. We had a congregation of one person. And everybody lived in the community. We were all together under one economy, even. If you needed diapers for your kid, you went to the temple treasury. I mean, it was a very intense thing. We had one sannyasi who was managing the whole thing, just the dimmest one at the time. And it was very intense. He had all these brahmacharis. They had the airport thing going on. A big Drishtadyumna Swami. Remember Drishtadyumna Swami? Well, way back, this is the early days, like in 1980 or something in Dallas. 78 maybe. Way, 79, way back in Dallas. And here's a sannyasi. He's got an airport party going out. He's got all the Matajis, the babies. He has to manage the whole thing. And it's like, wow, it's a huge burden of responsibility. I remember our GBC, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he came and he said, Arjistadimna Swami, he has no problem. Because he has taken everyone else's problems as his problem, therefore he has no problem. I thought that was a very profound statement by Tamal Krishna Maharaj, because he has taken up the service of helping everybody else to solve their problems, you see. Personally, he has no problem, you see. It's a very, very important, very poignant point made by TKG, Tamal Krishna Goswami. The more we can take up that mood of helping other people to become happy, you see. Our happiness is already there. How can I become happy? You see. Well, stop worrying so much about your happiness. Just think how to make others happy. You see. And then your happiness is already there. So who is that first other we try to make happy? Krishna, Guru, Srila Prabhupada, you see. We want to please our spiritual master. We want to please Srila Prabhupada. Our founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada. When they water the root of the tree, all the leaves and branches are nourished. So through the system, Guru Parampara system, we please our spiritual master, we please Srila Prabhupada. In this way we please all the Acharyas, we please Krishna. And now that we've watered the root, we are just leaves on that tree, you see. So if we water the root properly, then naturally we will be giving all happiness to everyone, including ourselves. So as pointed out here in this wonderful purport, the rich man, he can build a nice temple for Krishna, but it's not that he can't live there. He can also live in that palatial building. He can have a room somewhere in the palatial building, you see. But not as the proprietor, as the servant. So the devotee is not left out. When he devotes himself to making everyone happy, his happiness is included because he's part of the universal tree as well. When you're watering the root, every leaf and branch is nourished, and since you are one of those leaves and branches or whatever it may be of that tree, you're also nourished automatically. So if you be friendly to others, then you will experience You will be living in a friendly atmosphere. Someone thinks, well, I don't have any friend. Nobody likes me. I don't have any friend. Right? Well, why don't you try being friendly to others? Well, they're not friendly to me. Right? No, one should be outgoing. Be friendly to others, you see. If we're friendly to others, then automatically we have so many friends, because no one likes to be friendly to somebody who isn't friendly. But if you're friendly to others, they'll be friendly to you, and all of us, if I'm friendly to everyone, all of a sudden I have unlimited friends. So the point is always being in the mood of giving, 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 and then receiving will automatically happen. If you just try to receive, receive without giving, you're not going to get anywhere, you see. So Krishna consciousness means you give to Krishna everything. Your every thought, your every word, your every deed, in every single time, place, and situation. You give everything to Krishna. Don't hold anything back for sense gratification. Because Krishna will take good care of you. He'll take better care of you than you can take of yourself. Take care of yourself. Just give everything to Krishna. And enjoy the ride. Because there's nothing more blissful, nothing more ecstatic than Krishna consciousness. Actually, there's no consciousness except for Krishna consciousness. Anything besides Krishna consciousness is unconsciousness. It's death. If you're Krishna conscious, you're living. If you're not Krishna consciousness, you are simply dead. And there is not much more to be said in this connection. So, do we want to be dead? Or do we want to be living? It's our choice. Mm-hmm. We want to be a dead man, a dead woman, or maybe a living, vibrant, living entity. You see, it's our choice. You see. We should hear from the great authorities and make our decision. No one can force you to be Krishna conscious. It's your decision. What do you want, Prabhu? Do you want birth, death, old age, and disease? Do you want temporality, ignorance, and misery, asat, achit, nirananda? Or do you want eternity, knowledge, and bliss, sachit, ananda? Your choice. Asat, Achit, Nirananda, or Satchit Ananda. Which do you want? We have to know what the choices are, and then we have to make our intelligent decision. Because whatever choice we make, we're going to get that result. If you take the wrong path, you end up in the wrong place. If we take the right path, we're going to end up in the right place. So it's good to have a roadmap. And what is that roadmap? Bhagavad Gita. If we will follow this map, it's very clearly delineating for us the Acharya Marg, the pathway of the great Acharyas. Very clearly delineating. If we simply follow that pathway without trying to invent our own little side trips, the mind is such a rascal. Well, this is pretty cool, but I can think of a little side trip here. No side trips, okay? Nip the side trips in the bud. No side trips. Just pure bhakti. Sarva padiva nirmuktam tat padatme nirmalam nirmalam rishikesha rishikena sevanam bhakti ruchate. Become completely free from all false designations. Become totally cleansed of all mental contamination. Become solidly situated in your eternal identity. That is called pure devotional service. So if we take advantage of this wonderful atmosphere of the Krishna consciousness movement, an atmosphere where Krishna is the center, and we every day try to refine our Krishna consciousness more and more and more and more and more, you see, then we will advance very nicely on this pathway. Ye me bhakti jana prata na me bhakti state janaha mad bhakchanam chi ye bhaktas te me bhakti tamamata. It is stated very, very succinctly and profoundly by Lord Sri Krishna in the Adi Purana. My dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, na me bhaktas, he's not my devotee, but the devotee of my devotee, he is my real devotee. So this society, Krishna Consciousness Society, is very first class facility to awaken our Krishna consciousness. Why? Because there's so many devotees. So we must become devotees of the devotees. You see. How much do you love the devotees? How much do we serve the devotees? That we have to see. How much am I in the mood of loving and serving these wonderful creatures called the Vaishnavas? How much we're actually manifesting that loving service mood towards the devotees that Prabhupada has created by his divine potency, who are all representatives of him, in whom he is all present in every one of their hearts. By serving these Vaishnavas, we are serving Prabhupada, we are serving Krishna. So how much do you love the devotees, you see? How much of I loving the devotees? We have to analyze. How much feeling of love manifested in practical way I speak and the way I act and the way I think about them as well. How much is that actually manifest? Devotion for the devotees. Because that will be the extent of how much we can absorb ourselves in the name of Krishna, the fame of Krishna, the form of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, the dham of Krishna, the dhams of Krishna, Mayapur Vrindavan, you see. How much I have awakened my feelings of love for my guru, my Diksha guru, my Siksha gurus, my fellow devotees, how much have I awakened my love for Srila Prabhupada, you see. These are reflections of how much love I have for Krishna. So there are so many things to be said, but there's a time limit. So I think it'd be good if we have some questions. Somebody may have some questions. Try to answer the question. Question. And I'm a little deaf. Actually, I'm quite deaf, but I'll try my best here. Go ahead.
You mentioned that we cannot be good boy or good girl.
Yeah.
But in some sense of karma yoga, is it possible to be good for Krishna or not? What does it
mean? Oh, yes. Being a good boy, we must be, but we cannot be this body. That's the point. We must be good. Good means that you follow the injunctions of the scriptures. You follow the orders of the spiritual master. That's being a good person. But you can't be a boy or a girl because that's not you. It's like, Prabhu, I want you to be a good Kurta. Now you must be a good Kurta. Well, I'll try really hard. And I want to please you, but I'll be a good Kurta. Huh? I'll try, but how do I be a good Kurta? You see? Be a good boy, a good girl. It's trying to be something you're not. Good you must be. Obedient to Guru, to Krishna, to Scripture, that is good. But boy or girl, that's simply a covering. You cannot be your covering. Of course, we do act in terms of those coverings in the Vedic culture. There are certain duties for souls who are covered with a male body. There are certain duties for souls that are covered with a female body. But that doesn't mean that one is a male or a female. It just means that's a particular covering that one has right now. We've flipped back and forth innumerable times between male and female, you see. Sometimes I'm male, sometimes I'm female. Each and every one of us has been a male unlimited number of times and a female an unlimited number of times. But not that we've actually been those. Those have been our coverings, you see. Yeah.
How are you to be friendly to all living entities when some of them are envious?
Yes. How to be friendly to the envious? From a distance. You wish them well within your heart and you stay away from them. Even devotees, Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavatam Purport, there are devotees in the mode of ignorance. And they are to be avoided, actually. You respect him within your heart, well, he's a devotee and I respect him for being a devotee, but you know, every time I get close, there's some sparks happen or something. You better keep some distance from that devotee. So, the way you manifest love is by not associating with some of them, because when you do, it turns into a fight or something. So keep a peaceful relationship. So yeah, that love can take different forms. The idea is to keep a nice, loving relationship going with everybody. And sometimes it means at a distance. Strong fences make good neighbors sometimes. Yes.
On that point, it's quite interesting that the word nivera translates as without an enemy, and yet in the verse itself he says he's friendly to all. So from the point of the other person, he's an enemy, but you never see him as an enemy.
No, a devotee never sees anyone as an enemy. Even if someone has ill will towards him. Just like those fellows who were crucifying Lord Jesus, you see. Christ said, he prayed to Krishna, he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And let's say somebody insults me, and is very rude to me, offensive to me. The proper understanding is, well, in the past, I was very offensive to somebody, and now, by the arrangement of Providence, this person is the DHL man for my karma. He's simply giving my karma. It's not his fault. He insulted me, but actually, it's my own insult bouncing back in my face. I insulted in the past. This person is not to be blamed. He's simply delivering to me my own past karma. That's all. A devotee never has any ill will against anyone, because even if someone has ill will towards him, he just sees, this is my own ill will that I had in the past now coming back to me to purify me from the reaction of that previous sin. And this person was somehow arranged to be the DHL man for my karma. So in this way, a devotee has no grudges against anyone. He sees that ultimately Krishna is behind the scenes pulling all the strings to do everything possible to bring me back to full surrender as soon as possible. So if somebody is rude to me, is offensive to me, well, that's for my purification. So I have nothing against them. They somehow were chosen to be the courier, the karma courier service. So devotee has no enemy. He sees everyone is acting directly or indirectly under the direction of Krishna. And Krishna is my supreme well-wisher. So actually everything that's happening to me is for my ultimate good. At every minute. The good, the bad, the beautiful, and the ugly, it's all for my ultimate benefit. It brings me back to pure surrender at the lotus feet of that beautiful Krishna, Shyam Sundar. Who's making his that beautiful Lord Jagannath, who sometimes makes a loud concert with his flute in the groves on the bank of the Jamuna. He's like a bumblebee, because relishing the beautiful lotus-like faces of the cowherd damsels of Raj. And great personalities such as Lakshmi, Shiva, Brahma, Indra, and Ganesh worship his lotus feet. May that Jagannath Swami come to my vision. Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Bhava Tume. Any other questions? Yes?
Is it correct that friendly means selfless?
Yes. Friendly means selfless. That's correct. Yeah.
Sometimes it's difficult to have like a group of devotees having good relationship with each other.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I notice is when we go out or play soccer or do some sports.
We go out and what?
To play soccer.
Football.
Okay, all right.
Or any kind of sport that it means all of us together.
Yeah.
So it help us to be more united.
Oh, okay.
To be more
integrated. All right. So what's the question then?
So my question is, some devotees they do agree, senior devotees that us is right, and some senior devotees they say that we shouldn't play any sport.
Okay.
So why is
okay. Well, actually, I think we should play sports all the time. But there's one particular sport we should play all the time. And I want to tell you what that sport is. And if we will play this sport 24 hours a day, we're going to all be super enlivened in these sporting activities, and there'll be perfect loving relationships between everyone. So this is the sport that I recommend that we all should play 24 hours a day. Now, what does sports mean generally? It means a ball game, right? Who's going to control the ball? Basketball, football, baseball. Whoever controls the ball, they win the game, isn't it? So, what's the biggest ball we have around? Well, the Earth planet, right? It's a pretty big ball. The Earth planet's a pretty big ball. So why, just like we were little kids, we used to play marbles, right? And then we graduated to baseball or football as we grew up, you know. Marbles is for little kids, it's not for, you know. But I suggest this, based on Prabhupada's teachings, that baseball, football, basketball, volleyball, this ball, that ball, these are childish games, very childish games. Let's play with the big boys instead of little kids, you know. Let's graduate to playing sports with the big boys. You see. So what is the biggest sport? That is called Sankirtan Yajna. There are two teams competing for the control of the ball. Siddha and Asiddha. On the Siddha side, we have great, wonderful sportsmen like Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhakti Manod Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the leader of the team. We have an incredible lineup of players. And Prabhu, you're invited. We're all invited to join the team. The Sankirtan Yajna, which is going on. Who's going to control the ball? I remember when I was in high school, we used to go to the football games. That was the big thing. In America, football is king. And once a week, they'd have all the buses. You know, we go to our high school in the evening, and we get on the buses, and we'd go off to some distant town, and we would cheer for our team. You know, one of our cheers was, "Get that ball! Get that ball! Get that ball!" Right? So, we have that cheer in ISKCON too. Get that ball. We want to get the control of the earth planet. You see, Prabhupada's vision was that the Vaishnavas would take control of this planet. They would pry the control of this planet out of the hands of the demons and take control of this planet. As we see in the tongue of Yudhisthira Maharaj, you see. So, if we can, this sport we can do 24 hours a day. If we get together and plan, scheme, and how we can take over this planet for Srila Prabhupada, and we play that sport, then everybody will be, all the sportsman-like devotees will be completely enlivened. Their sporting propensities will be fully gratified and satisfied. And actually, by the way, Prabhupada, you can look in the Veda base, and Prabhupada says that in an initiation lecture, he said, no illicit sex, no meeting, no intoxication, no gambling. And within gambling, he said, ball games, he said, this ball and that ball, it falls within the category of gambling. It's a violation of the regulated principles. So, and personally, I find these games very boring, and these other games, they don't make sense to me. You can fight really hard and sweat, we won the game. You know, that's all it is. It's some egoistic thing. We won the game. Our team won. We won the game, right? What do you have? Some sore muscles, maybe. So why not play a game that's actually going to do something to change the history of this planet? What will your ball game do? What will your basketball game do to change the history of this planet? Why not play a game that's going to wrest the control of this planet out of the hands of the demons and put it strictly under the control of these teachings? That's the game we should play. You won't catch me out of playing baseball or football or basketball or volleyball, wasting my time in some stupid nonsense game. You won't catch me doing such a stupid thing. I'm sorry, but I'm just telling you my heart. I'm supposed to reveal my heart. That's one of the activities of love. I mean, I don't go around, you know, like, what was that lady? The one who went into the bars and smashed them back in the days of Prohibition. Somewhere, forget her name. No, I don't go around, you know, if I see somebody with a volleyball, I don't come and start chastising them or something. You know, but you asked me. I mean, it's in my heart, but I'm very friendly. You know, even if you walk by me with a basketball in your hand, I'm not going to give you a dirty look. Or, you know, it's not like that. I'm very tolerant. I understand devotees are on different levels. Some, you know, are not ready to give up their beloved basketball. They're not ready for it. I respect all the Vaishnavas, even the ones who play basketball and volleyball. And I respect them, and I'm sure that in many ways they're more advanced than I am. But you know, but when it comes to philosophy, we tell it like it is, according to Prabhupada's teachings. Yes.
In the materialistic world, like if we're doing business and we, thinking of, progressing in our business. So, you know, it simply means we are making enemies. So how should we deal with it?
Yes. Successful businessman makes many enemies. Of all the businessmen, he puts out of business. But if that money is being spent in Krishna's service, they're getting purified by going out of business. You're blessing them because they're using that money for sense gratification. So actually, our devotee businessmen throughout the world, we encourage them all to become very, very aggressive and put all the karmic businessmen out of business. Let all the businessmen of this world be Krishna conscious. If we control the money, if the Vaishnavas control all the money on this planet, we'll control the radio, the TV, the billboards, the magazines, the newspapers, and guess what controls the governments? Money controls the governments. Money in this world rules supreme. The government men are bought out by money. That's it. So if we control the money, then we control the whole planet, and we can use that control to make everyone Krishna conscious. So we encourage all of our Krishna conscious businessmen to be super aggressive and become the most successful businessmen on this planet. And never mind if you make enemies. You can give them prasadam after you put them out of business. Yes?
Going back to these ball games, when the devotees are playing, do they remember Krishna? They're remembering Krishna, it's all right, because I remember one of the devotees left the body while was Ekadashi, and he left the body while playing the ball game.
Yeah, it happened. There was a ball game in Malaysia, and the temple president was playing the ball game, and he died in the middle of the ball game. Yeah. Better to die in the middle of a kirtan. He actually died in the middle of the ball game. He had a heart attack and died in the middle of the ball game. Better to die in the middle of an ecstatic kirtan than an ecstatic ball game. Because if your whole thing is, ball game, and you die in that mood, where will you go? Yeah. Yeah.
Going back to the ball games.
Okay.
Our temple president, a few months back, he had a meeting with the ashram devotees. He wanted the devotees to live in the ashram, to be more united, to do things more together. So he was suggesting to have meetings every week, discuss different points. And then he said, so once in a while, you guys can go out, have some free time outside, go to the beach, play some sport. So we were going once a month to go out, sometimes play soccer, eat.
Soccer?
Soccer.
Playing soccer.
And we noticed that actually the devotees were getting more, like they were bringing out, you know, these many problems, stress, and they were getting much better in their relationship.
Uh-huh.
That's why my question came.
So there is a certain camaraderie that one can develop by sporting activities. That's undeniable. I don't deny that, but I'm saying if you will do this, the ultimate sport together, that camaraderie will become a million times more blissful and a million times more ecstatic. That's what I'm saying. I agree that sporting, the camaraderie of sporting activities bring camaraderie. If somebody is into that, you wouldn't get me, I wouldn't be camaraderie with it because I'm not into that stuff. You see? But better to take a sport that we can all play together throughout the whole ISKCON, and that's Sankirtan Yajna. Yeah.
In the beginning days of the movement, we went out on Satnam, not street Sankirtan, all day long. We come back for meals, or sometimes the prasadam would come to us, and we would just go out all day long. It was was no question of any side trips or anything. That was our service. And we were all in complete bliss. Now there's no street sankirtan, so now we have to make up things to bring in the camaraderie.
Yeah, but 6 days a week, out singing and dancing on the streets, or in the beginning, actually, the book distribution wasn't there in the beginning when I joined. You would go out all, going on Sankirtan, you'd go out all day and chant and dance, and then come back and take some prasadam in the evening. And then on the seventh day, you would clean the Maha cleanup of the temple and the Sunday feast, the big feast. Yeah, we did. Papa never introduced any of these things. All right, now once a month you should all play football. Papa never introduced these things. Papa never saw any need to do something else besides the, you know, this process that we had. He never saw any need. Well, I think once a week you should all go bowling, you know, for camaraderie. Papa never introduced these things. You see, I see so many things introduced in our society, complete concoctions. In one temple during Christmas, they put a Santa Claus hat on Jagannath, you can imagine. There's so many concoctions in our movement. Devotees are not being trained properly, they're losing track, they're losing connection with what Prabhupada actually gave us. So, you know, they may think, oh, everybody be so enlivened, they see Lord Jagannath with the Santa Claus hat, enliven all the devotees. That's what they're thinking. Wow, everybody be super enlivened. But, I was just disgusted. Because it's completely bogus to put a Santa Claus hat on Lord Jagannath. Can you imagine? It's actually on the altar, the temple altar in Peru. I mean, that's how far, that's an example of how we're becoming deviated from Srila Prabhupada.
It's aparad.
Huh?
It's aparad.
Aparad, yeah. It's a safe aparad. Such things are detrimental for one's spiritual, for Krishna consciousness. So, all of these sporting activities, we may think it's a new improvement, but I'm sorry, it's really a deviation from Srila Prabhupada. And we need to find a sporting activity that we can all do that's fully authorized by Prabhupada, and that's Sankirtan Yajna, chanting and dancing and book distribution.
He did allow the small group of kids to play ball and wrestling.
Prabhupada suggested they play kit-kit. A game called Kit Kit. Prabhupada did recommend that for the children here. And they used to play it here in the Gurukula, Kit Kit. But now they're more sophisticated, they play soccer. But actually the original thing was Kit Kit. Huh? Small children, yeah. So Prabhupada authorized Kit Kit for the little small children. But it's like, you know, how long are you going to play Kit Kit, kid? I mean, it's a matter of like going from marbles, graduating from marbles, you know. These sporting activities are actually for children. They're not for mature people. It's a big business, you know, the football, baseball, soccer, it's a big thing. Millions of dollars, you know, big world championships. This is all childish thing. It's a very childish thing. It's not for mature gentlemen, Vaishnava gentlemen. It's immature activities, actually, for those who are still influenced by the mother passion.
Most of them are violent.
Huh?
Most of them are violent.
Yeah, there's one island in the Caribbean that has two countries on the island, and they had a soccer game, and there was, you know, the soccer games are sometimes a brawl that breaks out. So it actually escalated. A soccer ball escalated into a war between these two countries. They actually went, the thing escalated into a total war between the countries. Can you imagine? And there's some, soccer is especially notorious for violence and brawls and people being killed and stampedes. And it's passionate. I mean, we used to have our preaching center in Austin, one block away from the football stadium in the University of Texas in Austin. They're called the Longhorns, and football is king there at the University of Texas. And we were one block away, and when they had those football games, that's all you could hear, thousands, the humongous stadium, thousands and thousands of people cheering. I mean, it's all you could hear was the people cheering, you know. It's just a completely passionate thing. And it doesn't make any sense. When I was a student there, I had no interest. And somehow Krishna blessed me to realize this is just... I wasn't a devotee yet, but I wasn't interested in this stuff. It's just... It seemed like a waste of time to me. I was interested in self-realization. You see? I mean, how learned are we in Prabhupada's books? How much do we discuss Prabhupada's books? Do you know, have you mastered the knowledge in all the Prabhupada's purports yet, Prabhu?
Are you asking?
Have you?
I started.
You've mastered all of the purports of Prabhupada's books?
No.
Yeah. So why don't we get together and discuss what's in Prabhupada's books? Why don't we go deeper into Nama Ras? Have we achieved the perfection of Nam? Have we come to the level of Rushi yet? No. Why don't we get together and go deeper into Nama? Go deeper into the philosophy. Time is so short and we have time to play all these stupid nonsense games. Why don't we get together and discuss and read Prabhupada's books? Go deeper into this knowledge, you see. Time is very short. Where is the extra time to do these nonsense frivolous activities which have no connection with Krishna consciousness? I don't know where the time is. Prabhupada said 24 hours a day is not enough time to talk about Krishna. Talking about Krishna is an unlimitedly nectarian activity. Much citta madgita prana bodhyantak parasparam katayantashtamam nityam tashyanticha ramanticha. They derive, tashyanti means they derive great satisfaction. Ramanti means they derive great bliss. So you want bliss? You want satisfaction? Get together and talk about Krishna. Share your realizations of Krishna. See, let every devotee speak. Well, they'll take turns. Today I give a lecture, tomorrow you give a lecture. Let's go around and let everybody speak their realizations. You see? This is the ultimate sporting activity. You see? To play with Krishna. To become qualified, to achieve your original loving relationship with the Lord and His transcendental pastimes. Yeah.
Another sport, if you're interested, if you're here for a while, we have free temple tours program. We have free brochures available from the information center, and you can greet any of the thousands of people coming in.
No, actually, I am not a fan of sport. I just mentioned sport.
Yeah.
Because it came to my mind personally.
Well, I've seen this in different temples. One of the years when I was in the West, and I personally couldn't understand where the mentality was. But I mean, I understand that there is a certain level that maybe you need that kind of thing.
Yeah, it means if there's a need, if devotees can't come together unless they play sports, it means that they're not well trained to understand what is Krishna consciousness. Somebody has to go. Some senior devotees should come there and train you all how to get along together nicely without having to play a ball game to not fight with each other.
The thing is, in order to understand this, I have to elaborate more clearly. Because if I say always like this, it will take it exactly, but we won't miss the different details. So what I say is like in Los Angeles. So, for example, I stopped playing games long time ago. But the devotees, they know I'm very good playing soccer because I come from South America. So they go say, Acharya, let's go, please. I don't want to play anymore. I want to read, I want to study, I want to read. No, please go, let's go, let's go, let's go, because Somas Prabhu, you know, it's allow us to go and advance Somas. Okay, let's go. So, the thing is, in the ashram, it's a big building, different devotees to have different service, they don't see each other during the day, so because one starting and it's a different service. So, the intention is they wanted to see together each other, at least once a week, things like that, to live things together. So, that's just the idea. That's why I knew that there is this, some devotees agree, some devotees don't agree. That's why my question came out.
So, on Friday, which is the day before Ramnami, it has become custom in this temple to have a Shodhi Yatra. The deed which Rosa Dean has come out on palanquins, and we go from department to department to department, and people offer arti or flowers. And then the whole community comes out, and everybody goes from place to place, and then meeting everybody.
No, actually, in Los Angeles, we do not only that kind of activities,
yeah,
but also the devotees, they get together, they discuss the shastras, the shastras,
yeah,
all these things they do, but also, so, anything that you mentioned, Prabhu is mentioned, they do that, but they also
start by the middle class at night.
If you all want to play sports, what can we say? You know, you're going to do what you want to do. We can't make you not play sports. Krishna consciousness is voluntary. It's up to you to do what. If you that's what you feel you have to do, then you're going to do it. But Palina Parachiyate, you're going to get the result of what you do and how you spend your time and your energy. The time of death, your consciousness will be the sum total of how you engage your consciousness throughout your life. It'll be tested at death. I'm telling you, Prabhu. The time of death will test how much you actually were absorbing yourself in Krishna and pleasing Krishna. You see. What gave you the greatest pleasure? Was it playing sports or was it chanting Hare Krishna? You see? If playing sports gave you more pleasure, you're not ready for the spiritual world, Prabhuji. I'm telling you the truth. If playing sports was the only thing that could bring the devotees together, and the kirtan couldn't bring them together, and the philosophy couldn't bring them together, then how they qualified to achieve the spiritual world? They can go someplace where they can play sports in their next life. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So I think our time is a little over time. We had some nice sporting, philosophical sporting today. Thanks to you, Prabhu. Raja Vidra Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Jai.